The following program is rated M16+. Parental guidance recommended. It contains strong themed topics, drug use, alcohol use, violence and self-harm.
Ooh.
That was Pony, not me. Welcome to Bounce Back. It's, my name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in to DRN1. Bounce Back's usually a fun talkback show with comics. Today we're talking about WA, well, mental health basically. I've got Bonnie Davis and Di Star with me. Thank you ladies for joining me.
Welcome.
What a way to start.
I love it. You're like, it's usually fun, but not today. Strap yourselves in.
We're talking some pretty raw stuff today. So we're going to be talking about imposter syndrome. So thank you guys for saying yes. I know this is a really difficult subject and something that I really, yeah, has impacted me a lot. So like to start, who, I guess we've all had imposter syndrome. It's definitely really impacted me. I used to think I had a fear of failure. I've actually found it's more of a fear of success, and I think it's closely aligned with imposter syndrome. So Bonnie, do you want to take the
fear of success? What are you afraid of, that all your dreams will come true?
No, it's more with, you know, that unworthiness and that not feeling right about it. And you know, I find that,
do you know, I mean you were saying, oh, it's so hard to talk about imposter syndrome, but I think I've just been facing it head on for so long. It's just like part of my world now. I'm like, oh, I'll eat it for breakfast, whatever. And I actually was just shooting a tourism video. I do a character called Famous Sharon, and so she was shooting it. But we were interviewing this old artist. Sorry, Colin. But he was like, you know, he was older. He was like 70, you know, rolling on. And he was doing an exhibition. He was in the middle of Katanning, middle of nowhere. And he had actually was telling Sharon he'd started doing photography 30 years ago and then all these people started buying his work. And he was like, I'm not a photographer, I'm a farmer. This is not, you know, I'm a country guy. This is not, I'm not qualified. So he quit photography.
Wow.
For 30 years. And then Sharon was interviewing him just before his first exhibition after 30 years. He'd come back to it and started doing it again. And he said to her, I feel like an imposter. I'm not worthy of this. And my heart like just broke because I was like, here's someone who's creating something that people want. He's like, I can't trust the world wanting my stuff. I need to.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's just not logical or rational. It's just a fear of the unknown, I think.
Mm.
And actually there's a really great TED talk by the guy who started Atlassian, and he uses imposter syndrome. And this is, I think, by default how I use it now as well. Whenever you feel like an imposter, it means you're growing because you're growing out of your comfort zone, because you do feel like an imposter because you've, and if you're somewhere where you feel like you're not meant to be, then you probably really need to be there. Do you
know?
Like,
yeah.
If you're someone who feels like they are not like everyone else in the room, that's probably a really good thing for the world and for you and for everyone else in that room. And Colin is, he messaged me because I said to him in character, have you heard of imposter syndrome? And he'd never heard of it, 70 years old. And he's like, oh, I'm going to Google that. I found out I had agoraphobia a few years ago. I just thought I was different.
Wow.
But, like, it's something that a lot of us deal with. And even if you're 70 and you're actually killing it, you still feel like you shouldn't.
And to give up a talent and an art for 30 years.
So think of Colin. If you're feeling imposter syndrome and you're going to give something up, think about Colin not doing it for 30 years. Imagine if he'd kept photographing for 30 years.
Yeah.
Where he'd be now. But he's going to exhibit in Frio, so get in touch if you want to head down. He's killing it.
Yeah, go check it out, hey?
Yeah.
See how I was like, oh, you should ask Bonnie.
Definitely. Like, and Di.
She's just all over it, all over it.
What about yourself, Di? How has your journey been with it?
Oh, well, how I got here today, you did a topic a while ago that you asked me to come on and participate in the conversation about. Like, I don't think I know enough about that. And then I saw you were doing this topic and I was like, oh, not having confidence. That's something I have the confidence to talk about. Yeah, totally.
And I also love that Di Star, probably one of the most experienced people in Perth comedy and has been around, done so many things, worked with so many different people on so many different projects, thinking she doesn't know enough is like...
Yeah, hang on. Give us some scope. Is it 30 years experience in the scene?
God, no. That'd make me 50. No. All right, thanks, though.
No, but how long?
20, 21.
But 20-something years in this industry.
But how much imposter syndrome I have is that I was like, oh, I can't go in there by myself and talk to Yvonne about it. I need Bonnie for moral support because she's always posting these like amazing, inspirational, motivational.
Holy like, crap, yes.
Things all about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, she's all over it.
Yeah, I'm I love the stuff that you post, actually, Bonnie. It's amazing.
It's
real.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, because I've grown so much over the years and then COVID hit. So then I kind of, my posts are kind of shifting now. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if they'll be less useful to people.
No, the engagement on them is really good as well.
Yeah, well, it's just my private account. Yeah, I think because I just share the vulnerabilities that we have behind the scenes. And I was actually talking to my brother today because Sharon's just had a really big break. We just filmed a little promo for Channel 7 for a thing, which is just a fun, you know, one-off thing. But I was just saying to him how I've just been feeling like she's out of the spotlight at the moment because I've been working so much in the background. And also I've been like emotionally and financially ravaged by COVID I've been really ill, like I can't get my energy back, but I've just been focusing on turning up every day and really focusing on a daily approach to life because I've always been very big goals and big orientated kind of stuff. And I find that I can't control my career in a lot of ways. It depends on, but I can control turning up and being the best I can be on that day. Sometimes my best on Monday is not the same as my best on Thursday because, you know, life is a roller coaster of things and stuff, but turning up daily has really shifted stuff for me recently.
Yeah.
And I feel so much more present and in control and just really enjoying the process of being creative and failing and winning, because daily wins are really tangible, whereas when you get a big win, sometimes you're already focused on the next win, so you don't even celebrate the big win because by then you're looking another mile down the road, so you're already feeling like an imposter again. Because you've already hit your milestone.
Yeah.
And then you're like,
reach for the next thing.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm making a living off comedy, and that's hectic in WA for the status that Sharon is. You know, I'm doing really well, but I've got my eyes on much bigger stuff. So I always feel like I'm a little bit out of place and a little bit uncomfortable all the time. But now I'm just kind of used to it. And if I don't feel that, I don't know, just enjoy it. Do you know, it's like going to the gym. It's always a bit uncomfortable.
Bonnie, here's a really weird question, I guess. But you yourself have had imposter syndrome. How is famous Sharon with that? Because I know that you have split her and she's her own brand and her own person, really.
She's like the opposite. She is the imposter and she feels no syndrome. You know, I was doing a creative writing session on her today, actually, and we were talking about what drives her. And her underlying kind of darkness, I guess, is that she always feels like she's terrified of not being enough. So she's always too much. But that doesn't matter to her. Do you know, as long as she's enough.
Yeah.
So she'll be too much, which is really, you know, trying to be famous in places that she shouldn't be, or, you know, assuming that she is, you know, is bigger than she is, or she always thinks she's more famous than she is. You know, she's always, but also she doesn't care because she's living a great life.
Yeah, I love that.
She's having a really fun time. It's probably a little bit emotionally unhealthy, but also like she's having a really good time.
But hang on, anyone that gets around famous Sharon has a good time.
Yeah. I know, but you know, you can take drugs and have a good time and it doesn't mean that it's always good for you. But yeah, I guess like people are responding to my post because I'm just posting authentically. Yeah. But then I was sharing with Jo today how I was feeling like she was out of the spotlight, and then this big break kind of walks through the door from nowhere. And, you know, I wasn't chasing it, just kind of was like, hey, we'd like you to do this thing. And I was just saying to Jo how, you know, it was kind of a nice confirmation to just keep the faith and just keep doing my thing, and that have patience and just don't get caught up in trying to be something to show everyone you exist all the time, and just keep focusing on that daily process. It was a really nice just kind of reward of what I've been doing. And because I've been working on that daily process, when I went to the shoot, I was ready. Like, her hair was on, well, not completely on point because, you know, it's always a bit woo. But, you know, her makeup, like, I was centered. I took my time getting ready and just had fun. And I was scared that I wasn't going to be funny. I was scared that I was not going to be good enough. for the shoot. It was with Peter Rosethorn. You know, he's hilarious. But just by Sharon having fun, everyone, like, I got a few messages from the producers saying that was brilliant, we loved it. That's amazing.
How do you sit with that then and work through that emotion of feeling like maybe you're not going to be good enough?
Oh, just fake it till you feel it. That's what Shaz says.
Totally.
Don't fake it till you make it. They'll be waiting for ages. Fake it till you feel it, and then at least you feel like you're nailing it. And then that's pretty much what I did. I was like, let's walk in and have fun, play with what's there, you know, be present and listen to what's happening. Because if I'm getting caught in my head about being funny, I won't pick up on the moments. And I think that's what I did really well. And, yeah, and it was a really nice reward and it was good.
I like that you just said be present. One of the things I found when I've retried comedy, I did Matt Storer's course, I got on stage and I realised my whole world come crashing down on stage. I felt so overwhelmed and I realised just how not present I've been in my whole life for months. And, yeah, it was a weird space to actually experience that.
Yeah.
And it made me realise I was projecting fear out onto that crowd, not love. And it's not a good space. If you can't be there and you're woohoo somewhere else, it's, yeah, you can feel it. And then the crowd actually starts to feel scared with you. And so I need to learn a lot.
Well, I mean, that's a real magnification of, like, I mean, I don't know. I think it's definitely, there's definitely a bit of a women thing. We're really taught to be very aware of ourselves, you know, don't step out of line, don't cross boundaries, don't be bossy, don't do this, don't, you know. Anything you do, you'll get shat on. If you're fat, if you're thin, if you are proud of yourself, if you're not proud, like whatever. Like women really get put through the ringer.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I've been fat shamed on comments recently and I was like, wow, Scott Morrison never gets this, does he? Like, do you know? Like he's the Prime Minister. Gina Reinhart, any other woman who's bigger will get it constantly. But there's plenty of men that
No, but it does, you're right. And even the media pick up on that. Like if someone, say someone, you know, overseas in New York, famous, they'll hone in on the woman's shoes or attire or something. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
It's just,
it's nothing to do with their talent.
It's the world we live in. But in the world that we live in, men especially, they just don't really care much about what other people think. Do you know, they're they're just kind of more interested in their own goals. And I've really learned over the years that most people are not thinking about me as much as I think they are. Do you know, like,
yeah.
And if that's the imposter syndrome,
about you,
thank you,
not
Di.
In a creepy way.
If you could all just think about me more, please. But do you know, like, you know, we kind of feel like we walk into a room at a party and we feel like everyone's going to notice that we're, you know, not the life of the party or whatever, or they'll notice what we're wearing, or they'll notice. And actually they're all just worried about themselves. Like everyone else is feeling like imposters too most of the time.
Yeah.
And actually if you just own what you have, which I think, you know, men do, they own what they don't even have, that you kind of end up having it.
Yeah.
Because you get somewhere by having experience, and you don't get experience without doing it. But it's kind of the chicken before the egg.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Like yeah.
You're not going to be good at improvising if you never improvise.
Yeah,
true. If you improvise, then you become good at improvising.
Just step into the fear,
but you just got to, you just like roll into it. But yeah. I think like you've shifted a lot in the years, haven't you, Di? Like you are feeling like you're getting more and more like owning your worth and that kind of thing.
Bunny's like, you are right, you die, like, encouragingly.
That's a question because I was like, I don't want to speak for you. I feel like I can observe that. But
I charge more for what I do now.
Yes.
That's good.
Is that evidence of
it is.
Thinking you know what you're talking about?
But it's also showing yourself worth, right?
Yeah.
Like you can – I'm really bad at doing that as well. Yeah, so that's good. That's a really good start. Sorry.
But it took a long time. Took a long time to get there and not want to just help and do things for cheap or do things for free because I didn't know if I had all the everything that the job required, you know. Like I was like, oh, I'll just do it a bit cheaper just in case it's not as good as they're expecting it to be.
Are you self-trained as well?
I have a degree in stuff, but I'm working in something that is slightly adjacent to the thing that I
What did you study?
This, actually.
Oh, really?
Not that it shows. Yeah. No, wow. So I studied broadcasting and ended up working in marketing and PR. So yeah. It's kind of the opposite of being a journalist. Yeah.
But in a way, you know what they're looking for, which is genius.
Which is,
and you can coach people, which is amazing.
But again, just trying to get up the courage to deliver a workshop or something like that to people who know less about marketing or PR than I might, I might do that soon, but we're talking like 15 years into doing it that I feel like, that's why I never even joined social media, because I'm like, people don't want to hear what I've got to say.
Oh!
Wow.
But also if they don't, they won't read it. Like, I remember I was making video content because I need to really up Sharon's game in the content, just in creating more stuff and putting it out online. I know that's a missing piece in stuff she does. And I've been working on a whole lot of stuff that will connect to that, and it's starting to kind of happen now, which is feeling awesome. And I made the space for it and all that kind of stuff. But years ago, I was just kind of throwing shit at the wall. You know, I didn't really know. I found a lot of times when I'm trying to figure things out, I think I know what the answer is and I need to do that. I think I need to get more creative work done. So I used to schedule time to do it. But actually, I needed to schedule less things into my life to create a space to do stuff, which I've only just recently realized. Whereas I used to think, I've just got to fit it into my schedule. But actually, I needed to create massive amounts of space in my schedule. But so I've always thought that I've known the answer, but then I find it somewhere else. And that's why I think imposter syndrome is really debilitating, because it stops you from finding the answer that you don't realize is there.
Yeah.
Because you actually just have to do it to figure it out. And I was creating videos because I was like, I just got to create shit. I saw a news article about Perth tourism numbers being down. I called a friend who I paid to do video stuff, and I was like, okay, we're going to shoot it on Sunday because I've just got to do it. Like, we've just got to roll shit out all the time. By the way, this is like the one video I did in 3 years. And anyway, we were shooting that video and I was like, I just feel weird because this could be crap. And that video did the best out of any of the videos I've ever done. Perth, the place to be alone. It was like a tourism campaign based on how great it is that no one comes here. And
it was brilliant.
It was really fun.
And just that was pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID, yeah. It's like we've really upped
great foresight.
But as I was shooting that with him, and I was like, oh, this could be crap, and I don't know, I've just got to make things, but they're crap sometimes. And he said, if you make a crap video, no one's going to watch it. And it was just such a great – I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's really crap, do you know, unless it's like the room level, but then in a way you get famous anyway, so goal achieved. but I was like, oh, yeah, like if it's crap, no one – it's not going to go anywhere. And if it's good, it'll go somewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, it's that feeling that everyone's watching everything we're doing and actually they're just not caring. You might have some haters that look up all your crap and go, oh, check that out. They're so crap. But they're also not in the arena, because I find anyone who's actually in the arena fighting the fight and trying to figure shit out and work on themselves, they're not throwing stones at other people.
Oh, no
they're
way.
Too busy working on their own stuff.
Yeah.
The people that are trolling or looking up your stuff with hate scrolling, they're sad. Like, they don't have enough in their own lives to actually get on with. So they're looking for reasons for why they shouldn't try and going, look, this person's trying and they're crap. But actually they're not in it. And the people that are in it get it.
Yeah.
And they have respect for people who are trying, even if it's terrible. Like, good work, you gave it a shot. Because we know it's really hard to put yourself out there.
I find as well, if people are actually trying and they're on that journey, they're more likely to raise everyone up around them.
Yeah.
They're not going to – yeah, they know. They're not going to tear shreds off you. And I do agree with everything you just said. There are people out there that are, you know, need to probably have a look at themselves instead of deflecting and trying to tear someone else down. So, yeah, a bit sad that people do get a keyboard warrior-ish and –
yeah, but also that's them spending their hours up on, do you know, they're wasting their, that's like, who's going to want that on their gravestone?
Yeah.
Oh, Trevor, he hate commented the most on ABC Perth. Like, oh, well done, Trev.
Number one, Trev.
What a great guy.
That's actually scary. Imagine doing like a, you know, a search on that person's name and all those comments.
I'd love to see someone actually do a documentary on trolls and just actually find them and just see what's going on in their lives.
Interview them.
Yeah, like the really bad ones in particular. Like, hey, what's going on?
Like, you're onto something. There's an arts grant.
There's something there. Like, it's just kind of interesting. Like, who are these people?
Maybe Sharon could do that.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, she's not getting trolled at that level yet, but I'm sure it will happen. Be a sign of her success.
Oh, Di, what about yourself? So you've been 20 years in and you said, you know, obviously there's imposter syndrome. You run Laugh Resort and you do a damn good job with that. How have you beat some of this stuff?
I don't know that I have. I think I'm still railing against it.
Yeah.
And also Laugh Resort doesn't pay my bills. So I'm not exactly winning.
That's a passion thing, yeah.
It's a passion project. It's a side hustle.
Yeah.
It's But yeah, it's all those things. It's fake it till you feel it. It's, you know, smile and the world smiles with you and laugh and the world laughs with you and all that, and dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Mm.
And
all of that stuff, I guess. I'm just rolling the dice, just waking up and rolling the dice and hoping for the best.
Do you remember when you first heard of imposter syndrome?
I don't remember, but I just remember when the topic came up, thinking of all the great stuff that you post about it and about not having it and having it. Like, I don't know. I just feel like, I know I said I wasn't on socials, but I joined Insta.
Yeah.
And that's where I see this stuff that you say and share, and it's not just that you're living your best life on Insta, it's that you're living your real life. And I guess that's where I felt like there was some solidarity and comfort to just embrace life as it is in the real world and not as people select to curate and present it.
Which I think is like what's feeling interesting for me now, is because I've been sharing the really hard stuff and the challenges and the doubts. And because I think imposter syndrome comes a lot when people get into things by accident you know, but often we get into things by accident because we're doing things that really align with our values or our soul or sets us on fire or gets us excited. And of course we're more interested in them. And then, you know, like Colin doing photography, he did it because he was interested in it. And then he just didn't realize that other people would like what he saw, and like his stuff isn't like very standard photography. It's a little bit off the wall, a little bit different, but that's why people like it. I think it's the kind of stuff that you'll see one that really resonates with you, and then, you know, can really, like, you want it.
Yep.
Like, so I can kind of see how that happened for him, but he was just interested in it. So then, but you know, the things that we're interested in, my brother, for example, he works in advertising. And he's a great writer, and he has spent years doing all sorts of different things over his life, and he's never finished a degree. And we were talking about this the other day, and he said, yeah, I guess I'm really good at what I do just because I'm really interested in it. He's like, I'm always learning about, like, he did a whole presentation to us on Super Bowl ads. It was really interesting. Yeah, nice. There is layers to that stuff that I did not know about.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he's just super interested in it, and so he becomes really good at it. But there's this weird, you know, idea that there's some sort of magic ticket that other people have to do things. Like, because you look at a lot of the founders of big companies. I mean, Steve Jobs started his Apple company in the garage, and people kind of start things by accident a lot of the time, just by pursuing things and giving it a crack.
Yeah, pursuing that passion.
That's probably where mine started, is because of just falling sideways into marketing, having studied not that, but someone looking at what I was doing and go, oh, you're really good at that. Can you come and do that for us, and we'll pay you and we'll give you a title and stuff? And I'm like, what? Why? Yeah. Me? You sure? And then, you know, you just do it and for a while, and then other people go, oh, you look like you know what you're doing. Can you come do that for me? And then, yeah, so it's this whole career that's grown from just accidentally being good at something that you didn't set out to do.
Yeah. But, and also, like, in the beginning, you're maybe not that good at it. Like, I remember when I started doing Famous Sharon, I was like, oh, I should give this idea to someone else. Wow. I'm not good at doing character. I've never done a character before. I'm not an actor. I've barely done stand-up for 2 minutes. Like, and I really respect stand-up as an art form. Like, that's why I don't do stand-up with Sharon very often, because I want to really do it or, you know, not do it. And you know, and being famous for nothing at all is her, like, tagline. That's kind of clever.
Yeah.
Someone else should do this instead. And I wasn't wrong. Like, I wasn't experienced. I hadn't done characters. I was really fresh. But actually, I am really good at all those things now.
And I have been around
for a long time. But it's just through doing it. And that's kind of how everyone learns. There's not a magic ticket that someone else has. You know, it was my idea, and actually me doing her has made her a certain type of character that I've realised she probably would have been very different if someone else had done her.
Yeah, absolutely.
And maybe nastier or not actually gone as far.
Yeah. Bonnie, I'm just conscious of the time for you.
Yeah, I do have
If there was any advice you could give to people regarding imposter syndrome and how to beat it, what would you say?
I'd say get over yourself. Like, you're not that important. You know, like, if you accidentally do a job that you're not qualified for and you, like, do it well, like, the world is not going to be like, oh, no, we're going to have to stop turning. Someone is doing something that they don't have a ticket for. And also, if you do it and you don't do that well, there's people that are totally qualified that fail at things every day. Like,
yeah, totally.
And you're just not that important. That's what I tell myself on a regular basis, and not in a nasty way, but I'm just like, don't get in your head, babe. You're just not that important. Like, there's so much of the world to explore and to enjoy and to, you know, just be a part of. But if you get really caught up on stepping into a room or trying something or doing anything, you miss out on things before you've even tasted them. Like, that's sad.
Yeah, it is.
And you deserve more. We all deserve more. Imagine if we all lived our best lives, which is not easy, but it's pretty rewarding. And I think that's what's interesting now with my content. I'm like, oh, I feel like I've just got mostly good shit to post. Although I've been really sick for the last 3 months, so that's been useful. challenges. But I'm like, oh, my challenges. But then talking to my brother, I was like, oh, my challenges are just different now.
Yeah.
Because my challenges are like saving up more money or – you know, working on stuff and just enjoying the process. And yeah.
I like that. Enjoy the process as well. That's a really good tip.
Well, yeah, if you're always trying to get somewhere else, you never notice where you miss the journey. You know, if you're always like, ah, I'm at the top of the mountain. Back down I go. They miss the whole 4-hour walk. And I realize now that if you just get flown to the top of the mountain, it's not the same.
Yeah.
No.
Do you know, like, if you get dropped at the top of a mountain to see a view, your experience is totally different. Whereas if you work your way up,
yeah,
it feels amazing to be there. But I think a lot of us just start going down the mountain to find the next mountain straight away. So I really try and stop and celebrate and, you know, enjoy.
The pause in that moment. But also, I like what you're saying as well, stay in the moment.
Yeah,
and be present. Yeah, it's really good. Really good advice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me. I'm sorry I have to
run
off to celebrate love.
Got to go and be important somewhere.
Some people are getting married.
Thank you. All right, sorry. Di, what about yourself? Do you have any recommendations or tools to assist people with imposter syndrome on, you know, being able to do things that they actually want to do but they can't because this is preventing them?
Well, something that Bonnie said just before about your passion.
Yeah. You
know? Like, I might not have done a whole marketing degree, but the skill set came from the same place. The reason I studied broadcasting to start with is because I wanted to raise up and highlight and help get the word out about amazing West Australian Perth talent.
Yeah. You know?
That was my aim. So then, just being on the other side of that, I still get to do that, but I get to do it as a publicist, PR, communications, marketing type person. So if you're passionate about the end game, the end result that you want, you'll get there.
Yeah, so is that a part of, I guess it's goal setting, isn't it? And knowing where you want to get to and the stages in between.
I mean, there's no faking passion.
Yeah.
So you can't possibly be an imposter if you're passionate about the thing you're doing.
Yeah, true.
Because, yeah. And particularly if you're getting results. Like yeah. You're doing the thing you want to be doing and you're getting great results, then who's anybody else to put a label on you being an imposter or yourself feeling like you're an imposter? You're doing the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good advice as well.
I wasn't prepared to come on and give advice. That's my imposter syndrome. I don't know enough.
Yeah, but you're talking from your heart and it's a journey that you've had as well.
Sure.
And yeah, and that it's hard being raw. That's what I find it hard. Being vulnerable, you know, bearing your soul sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, people have assumptions about you as an individual and then they could be so wrong, can't they?
Absolutely. I'll tell you a thing. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You asked me something. What did I do to try and combat this imposter syndrome? I was working in comedy. Yeah. I never intended to. It was all about a boy, right? It was all to impress a boy. But I thought if I'm going to... After that ran its course, that if I'm going to stay in comedy, I need to prove myself somehow in this sphere.
Right? Yeah.
So I tried, like you have, doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so now I've done the stand-up comedy. Yeah. I know how hard it is. You know, if I'm going to go on to be a booker or a
makes you appreciate it. Yeah.
You need to know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So having done that and been in a group and performed for, you know, almost a year or whatever, that helped combat that feeling of being an imposter, because I'm like, okay, I have at least done that thing now, so I can talk to other people doing that thing.
Yeah.
So just give it a crack, I would say. Just if you're feeling you might be suffering some imposter syndrome, just do the thing. Just keep doing the thing.
Yeah, okay.
And eventually you would have done it so much that feeling dissipates.
Yeah. It's really good advice.
Because you're no longer an imposter. You are the thing.
Yeah.
You're doing the thing.
I get this with a lot of things, but I get sweaty hands. My heart starts to palpitate. And then my spirit leaves and it's like, woohoo, see you later, see in the clouds. And I'm like, it happens when I have surgery as well. So it's the same thing. I just go. I don't know where I go. I go somewhere else. And then my body's left there shaking. Like, come back, you know, from the clouds or wherever you've gone and be present. And that's why I want to continue with it myself, because I want to beat that. I want to become more confident in, you know, doing it, but I'm really scared. I'm petrified. Sorry.
But that's okay. And it might turn out that you're not a comic.
Yeah, and that's okay too. I only want to do open mic stuff. So.
But, you know, like I had similar feelings when I was doing it.
Yeah.
So much so to the point, you know, I'd want to feel like I was going to be sick before I went on. And it was just bad.
Yeah.
That's just one of the reasons that I stopped. But also I just played to my strengths. Like I knew eventually I worked out I was better backstage and behind the scenes doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I hadn't formally trained in either, you just learn by doing, and you learn by doing what you're better at and where your strengths are and following those.
Yeah. That's really a backbone support. And without that backbone support, you know, people will flop. You know, you need you to make it happen. Otherwise it won't. Sorry.
They need us.
It's essential. Yeah, okay. But it is essential, isn't it? It's without us, the scene's not going to work without people that are going to curate the show and make it possible. So
yeah, we can't all be on the mic.
No.
Like even when I was studying broadcasting, I went, I think I might just be a producer.
Yeah.
I actually don't like the sound of my own voice.
I don't think anyone does.
But do you know what I mean? Like you need it. Yeah. Well, you
and that sounded bad. It's not your voice, Di. No, I'm talking about. I'm talking about my own.
I was with you, but no. But I'm agreeing with you. Like you need all the actors. You need all the parts.
Yeah.
To be played.
Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't work, does it? Yeah.
Exactly.
No, definitely. We'll wrap it up there. Di, thank you so, so much for coming in, and Bonnie as well. You've been listening to Bounce Back, and I'm Yvonne Fletcher. This is Di Star, and that was Bonnie Davies. Thank you, guys.
I'm going to bounce.
Thank you.